And it is an honor to be here tonight in the meeting. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate everything Brother Dagenhart has said. Certainly don't feel worthy of it, but I appreciate that. I thought tonight, as Brother Dagenhart was describing all the preaching that had taken place, he would make a good public relations person for our preachers. Because the way he described every message today, I want to book every one of you to come preach for me. I'm excited to come back tomorrow night to find out how great I was tonight. Amen. Amen. I hope he don't have to make up something tomorrow night. But anyway, it's a joy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. I heard that my associate pastor did a good job this morning, and I appreciate Brother Cameron. He's not only my son-in-law, but he's my associate pastor. Well, he's almost a pastor. He does more preaching there than I do because I'm gone all the time. But anyway, I appreciate him, and I appreciate his heart, his love for the things of God. Outstanding young man of God. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. I tried every way I could to get out of preaching this message tonight. It's not a message that I have preached but just one time, and that was at the church. So I'm not real comfortable with preaching it. You preachers know what I'm talking about. You want to come and you want to bring the best message you think you've got, and then you get to looking over your outlines, you realize you ain't got no good ones. And so that foils that plan, but my intention for being here tonight is to try to be a help to somebody. I'm not here to try to see how loud you can shout, and if you do that, that'll be fine, but I'm here to give you something that'll help you in the days ahead. We're living in difficult days, and God's people need to hear a word from the Lord. And I promise you this, if God speaks to you, you'll know it, and it'll leave with you after these days of meeting. And then it'll be out there one day whenever all hell is raging around you. It'll be like the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to him. And I'm glad that I'm reading out of a book that is alive. It'll come to you when you can't get to it. I'm glad it'll come to you. Amen. 1 Kings 17, and a very familiar story from the Word of God, and I'll preach and get out of the way tonight. The Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 17, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn the eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would enable me for just a few minutes, that I might bring a message that would help some child of God here tonight. Lord, I pray, would you speak to the very need of some heart in this meeting tonight? And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to leave saying it's been good to be underneath the tabernacle tonight in this place. And God, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the context that I've read, we find the first mention of Elijah in the Old Testament. And of course, the prophet of fire has been commissioned by God to go to Ahab and to declare that there's going to be a judgment upon the land. There's going to be a number of years that there will not be rain upon the earth. May I say to you, I still believe God has the ability to judge a nation with the weather. Hallelujah. And I believe that the same God that did that today, I believe he's trying to get our nation's attention. But I thought about here in this story, the Bible said that after Elijah appears on the scene, he bursts on the scene and he delivers the message to Ahab. And he tells him, it's not going to rain because of your sin and the way you're leading this nation and the worship of Baal. And the Bible said, then God told Elijah, he said, I want you to turn eastward. He said, I want you to get hence. I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And he said, I want you to go down there to the brook Cherith and said, the ravens are going to feed thee there. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the Bible said that Elijah went to the very place that God told him to go. Now, if you read and study a little bit about the time frame, most commentators I read after believe that Elijah stayed by the brook Cherith for about a year, maybe a little over a year. Now, I'm talking about this is an unusual thing, that God would command a man to go sit by a brook and leave him there for a year. But here's where I really want to get to, the fact of what happened at the brook. Do you realize every one of us are going to have a brook Cherith in our lives? Every one of us are going to have to sit by something in our life and watch it dry up. Every one of us at some point in our life are going to be sitting by a drying brook. I'm preaching on that subject tonight, on when God asks you to sit by a drying brook. I don't like preaching messages like this. Matter of fact, when I preached it at the church, I told my wife, I said, I hate preaching messages like this because at some point you will have to live what you've preached. And I said, we like the things to be vibrant. We like things to be exciting. We like things to be overly abundantly blessed. But there's going to be times in all of our lives when the brook is going to dry up. I don't know if you've thought much about it. You may be here tonight and the brook of your health could be what you're sitting by. And right now you're slowly watching it dry up. It could be your finances that at one time were vibrant and it seemed like you had all kinds of ability in your life, but now because of something beyond your control, you've watched it slowly dry up and fade away. It could be you're sitting in a church preacher trying to pastor a group of people and it seems like every Sunday that the brook gets a little smaller and the stream gets a little less vibrant, and sometimes it's a discouraging thing sitting by a drying brook. I began to think about that when I thought about this story about the brook. I see the appeal of the brook. Now you think about this gig right here. You go deliver one message to the leader of the land and then God says, now why don't you go down there by the creek and hang out. Ain't no problems down there. Ain't no people down there. Who wouldn't want to go sit by the creek and get fed by God every day for a year? I mean, when he got there, the brook was vibrant. When he got there, the brook was moving. The song of the brook was appealing when he first got there. But as the days passed by and turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, the song of the brook began to die. And the song of the brook wasn't as strong. And Elijah sat there and watched what once had been appealing to him. Now he's looking at something. He's looking and he sees rocks baking in the sun. And there's nothing going on at the brook. Can I say to you right now, sometimes in situations of our life, they're very appealing. But I promise you, there's going to come a day when they start drying up. They won't have the... You may be here today in a marriage or in a relationship that at one time was appealing and one time had excitement in it. But now you're sitting there watching it just slowly come down to a trickle. I'm glad there's a God that's able to help you, though, when he asks you to sit by a drying brook. Hallelujah. I see the appeal of the brook. I see the activity of it.
We're activity-generated people. A pastor wants to see activity. He wants to see people moving. He wants to see people excited. But, buddy, when you look back in the pews and all it is sun-scorched rocks on a Sunday morning, that is not appealing. But I got news for you, praise God. It's God's business. If he wants to let it dry up, it's his business to do it, amen. And all we got to do is just do what he tells us to do, hallelujah. There's the appeal of the brook. There's the activity of the brook. And then I got to thinking about the answers of the brook. God told him, said, go down there by the brook Cherith and hide yourself there. Now, the Bible doesn't say that God gave him a time frame as to how long he would be there. And the Bible said Elijah goes down. I could imagine after a month passed, he begins to wonder when in the world God's going to get me out of this place. After 2 months pass, and finally 6 months pass, and the brook starts drying up even more, I imagine there's more answers coming in the mind of Elijah. And he's saying, God, where are you at? And have you forgot where I'm at? Can I say this to you? There's some of you here tonight, you're sitting by a drying brook, and you in your mind you're saying, God, have you forgot where I'm at? God, you haven't spoke to me in a long time. And God, I sure do need some help. I'm here to tell you tonight, when you find yourself sitting by drying brook, there's a God. He hadn't forgot anything. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows where he told you to go. And hallelujah, I'm glad he's able to bring all the blessings that he has upon your life. Amen. You say, preacher, what would God do in bringing me to a drying brook? I'll give you these and I'm done tonight. Number one, he makes us sit beside a drying brook to understand the stipulations of God's power. Now, Elijah is known as the prophet of fire. But up to this point, there is no fire in his life. He has delivered one message, and it was a weather report. Now, imagine that. I mean, he didn't have 5 points in a poem. He just walked up, knocked on the palace door of Ahab and said, hey, buddy, it ain't going to rain for a bunch of years because you've been doing bad against God. Now imagine that. You say, he had some power. Well, he had a relationship with God because God spoke to his heart and gave him a message. But let me tell you something. To deliver that message, he didn't have to have the greatest amount of power. What he had to have was courage. Because when you got to knock on Ahab's door and tell him, buddy, you're doing wrong and God's mad at you and he's going to cut off the spigot, that takes courage. It takes a amount of power, but it takes more courage to do that. But can I say to you, see, that wasn't the last appointment God had for Elijah on his calendar. Because God knew that there was a coming a place called Mount Carmel. And on Mount Carmel, you're going to need more than courage there. You're going to be facing the prophets of Baal, and everybody's going to be seeing everything in the public domain. And what you need when you get to Carmel is the power of Almighty God on your life. Can I say to you tonight, praise God, if you want the power of God on your life, you're going to get it at Cherith. If you want the power of God on your life, you're going to get it. You know how you get it? By being obedient to what God says to do. He said, Elijah, I want you to go to Cherith. Elijah didn't say, now, God, I'd rather go down here, or God, I had some other plans over here. He didn't do any of that. He's just like a dog would his master. When God said, go over there and sit down, Elijah went down by the brook Cherith and said, God, you know better than I do, and I don't understand it, but I'll go sit where you tell me to sit. Amen. Can I say to you, if you want the power of God on your life, it comes through obedience to the voice of the Father. You do realize sometimes he'll send you places you don't want to go. Amen. I'm talking about sitting by the brook that's drying if you're going to get the power of God. You see, Cherith means a cutting away. In other words, there's some work being done on Elijah at the brook Cherith. God shut him off. God cut him out of the public eye. Yeah. We tell you something right now, praise God, every one of us are going to have a Cherith where God does a work, and he's doing it for a future work in our life. He's bringing the power of God that we might bring glory and honor unto his name. Every preacher here that God's used in a great way has had a Cherith somewhere. There's been a place where you've been sitting alone. By the way, it's a lonely place at Cherith. Ain't nobody down there. Nobody knows where you're at, and nobody can know where you're at, because it's a place that God has sent you to. Can I say to you, sometimes you ought to pray for your preacher, because sometimes the pastor is the loneliest man on the planet. Sometimes he is the loneliest person in the building at church, because he may be sitting by his brook that God has sent him to, and he may even be discouraged. He may not understand why God has brought him there, but God is bringing him to that place that the power of God may rest upon him. Amen. I experienced a few of those chairs in my own life. Everybody nowadays, and of course, I've been at this thing long enough, people know a little bit about my ministry, and people hear songs that I wrote, and they think it's always been that way. But they should have been out there by Cherith when I was writing some of them songs. You see, the crowds didn't know my name. The crowds didn't know anything about me. But I was out there at my Cherith, and I was just obedient to God, and I stayed faithful to him. And I said, God, if nobody else don't sing them, I will. And the next thing I know, I look around, and God's touched it, and the power of God's been on it. And it's all because I just simply did what God told me to do. Amen. Oh, yes. You say, preacher, what will God teach us at Cherith? He'll teach us the stipulations of his power. Not only that, he'll show us our place at Cherith. Now you think about this. This is a prestigious preaching appointment that I'm in tonight. This is one of the most renowned camp meetings in North Carolina. When you get invited here to preach, that is a great, great honor. But can you imagine this? That you get a commission from God himself to bring a message to the ruler of the land. I'm talking about knocking on the guy that's running the whole deal, knocking on his door, delivering a message from God. If by some weird circumstance tonight that I got invited to go deliver a message to the president of the United States, which is very doubtful, very doubtful, and God facilitated that, I promise you this, after you left there, your chest is going to be stuck out thinking, man, I'm telling you what, out of all the preachers in the land, God needed me. Amen. Hold your hat right now. We're about ready to knock it in the creek. God told Elijah after this great, prestigious preaching appointment, Elijah's probably thinking, now where are you going to send me? Who you want me to talk to now? Surely now that I've burst on the scene, you're going to fill my calendar up. And God says, go hide yourself. Do you realize tonight the hardest thing for a preacher to do is hide himself? Are you hearing me? The hardest thing to do is hide yourself. But Elijah said, all right, I'm going to do it. And he went down there and he sat down by the brook. I imagine as he's sitting there watching the brook run, he's thinking, what in the world did what God hide me down here for? What in the world? As he watched the brook continually get smaller and the stream get smaller. And he said, I'm still hiding down here and I don't understand why. And all of a sudden it dawned on him one day. He said, you know what? I know why I'm down here now. God's just showing me that he don't need me. I need him. I mean, for a year now, God's operating without Elijah on the scene. It's a blow to all of our egos, men, but God really don't need none of us. As I'm coming down the road tonight, I said, God, you don't need me down there. But boy, I tell you one thing right now, preacher, I need him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You see, Elijah's out there and he can't do nothing for himself. And every day God's a taking care of him. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a God. He may not need me, but I need him. And I'm glad, hallelujah, that he teaches us that through his word. Amen. Oh yeah, I see the stipulations of his power. I see him showing Elijah his place. Let me just, after he gets you to the point you realize where your place is, then he says, now I got somewhere for you to go. Now you think about this next prestigious place he gets to go. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath. And he said, I've commanded a widow woman, the least in the community. I have commanded a woman who ain't got enough but for one meal left, and she's going to die with her son, but I've commanded her to sustain thee there. Let me tell you something, that's a slice of humble pie when you're the prophet of fire and you're rolling into town and a little widow woman that ain't got nothing is the one that's going to take care of you. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, praise God, God's able to use anybody he wants to. Hallelujah. Hey, God's used some little widow women to take care of a lot of men of God down through the years. It's been them little praying women in the houses of God that's kept the power of God in that place. Amen. They may not have been the biggest in the church, and they may not have been the most prestigious, but it's some of them little saints of God that just trusted God every day that kept the lights on, hallelujah, and kept the power at the house of God. Amen. I see. He showed Elijah his place. Number three, what he learned at Cherith was this. He learned about supernatural provision. Here he is by a brook, natural resource, and he watches it for a year till it dries up. But you know what didn't dry up? Supernatural resource. The Bible doesn't say anything about the birds stopping coming. Just said the brook dried up. And you say, well, why didn't he stay there? You can't eat a sandwich without something to drink. Amen. And the Bible said the brook, the natural resource, dried up before his eyes. But the supernatural provision didn't stop. Let me tell you something right now. You may be here tonight, and I see sometimes in elderly saints of God, and their health begins to fail, and that brook is drying up. Their ability to even take care of themselves is drying up. And I see sometimes as they get discouraged and as they wonder what's going to happen to me and how am I going to take care of myself, and then they realize this, that it's the supernatural provision of God that's going to meet our needs. You see, that blessing that they were getting was a blessing that just came out of the blue. Have you ever had something come your way that just dropped out of the blue? I'm talking about them birds is bringing bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. I mean, God's train runs right on time. There wasn't a day Elijah's saying, you know what, I wonder if God's forgot me today. They're running a little bit late every day. I believe every day at the same time. And you talk about the precision of our U.S. Air Force and how they can drop a laser-guided missile. I tell you, God's got one better than that. I don't believe Elijah had to even get up off the ground to get his bread and flesh. I believe they just zeroed in on him. I'm glad that God knows where you're at. I'm glad he can drop bread on your table. I'm glad, hallelujah, he can meet your need, hallelujah, by his supernatural provision. Amen. I wish I could tell you the times that all of a sudden out of the blue had come something, pow, right there. And I really didn't see it coming, but God did all the time. There's the supernatural provision he saw at Cherith. And then last of all, there's the stages of purpose that he learned about at Cherith. What do you mean by that, preacher? Cherith means a cutting away. In other words, it's like a big ravine. It's a low place. But he went to Zarephath next, and the name Zarephath means a place of refining. God had to cut some things away in Elijah's life there, and then he took him to a place that, now I'm going to refine you a little bit, boy. I'm going to polish you up a little bit. I'm going to work on you a little bit because I got an appointment. It's in a high place called Mount Carmel. And you ain't preached to no crowd this big before now, but you getting ready to preach to the biggest crowd you've ever preached to. Matter of fact, everybody there ain't going to be your fan when you get there. But he said, I done got it fixed out, that you got the power now you need, and I've polished you up like you need to be, and said, I've got you ready to go to your Carmel. And you know, the name Carmel means a fruitful place. The cutting away place, the refining place, and the fruitful place. Can I say to you, praise God, every one of those stages, every one of those stages, we're all going to experience those. You may be at your Cherith right now, and God's just drying up everything around you. But let me tell you something right now. He's got a place of refining for you. And one of these days, you're going to find yourself standing on top of Mount Carmel. After the prophets of Baal have had their say, you're going to stand up, you're going to pray. And the next thing you know, the fire is going to fall. Amen. Hallelujah. And everybody going to leave talking about that prophet of fire. Amen. Aren't you glad, praise God, that God's got able to help you when he asks you to sit by a drying brook? Sometimes I look around, I see things that just seem like they dry up. You ever seen people's excitement in a church dry up? You ever heard the amens dry up? Have you ever witnessed when the finances start drying up? That's unnerving times to us as God's children. But I got news for you. God don't want us to put our confidence in the brook. Oh, it's good that we got a drink out of it, and that'll carry us on down the road. But I'm glad God's able to send the rain. Hallelujah to his name. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. I pray, God, you take the message now to the hearts of your people. Use it in a great and mighty way, Father. We're going to give you praise for all you do. Thank you for what you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Preacher, you come tonight.
Amen.